Well, please take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. If you have your bulletin open at the inner fold, and also if you'd have your Bible open to Psalm 145 that Pablo read a little bit earlier. But now, Lord, it's our joy to come to your word, and Lord, we're dependent upon you to reveal the word to us. Lord, perhaps it's your plan to speak in a way to your people that I haven't seen today. But we do pray that you would use the scriptures. We pray that the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Lead us in the way everlasting. Teach us. And Lord, give us those hearts on fire that burn in love for you. You only, Lord Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen. Well, we've been doing a series on the home about once a month, and the title of this morning's message is Playing Catch Up. When I got married, the only things that I knew about parenting, of course, were from my own parents, and that would be true of many of your lives also. But when I was a young dad of two boys at that stage, I started to recognize that I was missing some things, and so the Lord led me, I don't know how it came about now, but the Lord led me to read a book called Heaven Help the Home by Howard Hendricks, and that was a great help to me. And of course, since those early days, I've read many books on parenting and on marriage. And I'm so grateful for godly men and women, godly teachers that have written books that help me to be a better husband and a better parent. Some of the modern Christian videos and books on parenting are absolutely outstanding. And those resources can be both a help and a discouragement to us. And maybe as I've gone through this series, the series itself may have been a discouragement to you. You see, when Nolan and I watch those videos, we go, oh, we did that wrong. And we did that wrong. And we see the inadequacies of our parenting. Praise God for his grace in our family. But I can see that it would be really discouraging if you realize certain failures as a parent and then you don't like what you see in your kids. Perhaps you feel, I wish I could get the years back. I wish I had known some of these things a decade ago. Why didn't I find this out years ago? Isn't God sovereign? Couldn't God have brought these truths into my life earlier on? And then I wouldn't be in such a mess today. Well, dear parent, you can't get those years back. But I want you to know that whilst the children are in the home, it's never too late. It's never too late. Whilst that child is in your home, you still have an opportunity to influence their lives. And even after a child leaves home, then God hasn't left you alone either. He does not abandon you. The fact is, you now know some things about parenting that you didn't know before. And the question before us today is, what are we going to do with what we know about parenting, with what we now know? Yes, some years may have been wasted, but you can catch up. You say, well, how do I catch up those years? That's what we want to answer for you today, some solid biblical teaching on playing catch up. I don't think any of these five biblical tips on playing catch up are going to be new to you or a surprise to you. I think what actually helps is to verbalize them and get a clear game plan for our family. And that overall game plan may be what is new to you today. The first biblical tip on playing catch up is confess your failure as a parent. Obviously, it has to start there. Confess your failure as a parent. Now, we can't plead ignorance. There may have been certain things about parenting that I didn't know or you didn't know, but we can't plead ignorance. It is there in the scripture, and as soon as we discover any violation of the standards of God, then it's time to come and confess our inadequacies to God. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Further, when our behavior has been in violation of God's standards, not only do we want to confess vertically to God, but we want to confess our inadequacies to our children, any affected by our sin. Let's widen this out. As soon as we realize a sin, we want to confess it to anyone affected by the sin. Matthew 5 and verse 23 says, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar," so this person is coming to worship, "and there remember that your brother has something against you, or your son or your daughter has something against you," in this particular case. So you've come to church to worship, and in the message you've become aware of some parenting failure, something that has not been according to God's standards. Or you're reading a Christian book, or you're watching some Christian video, and you realize your parenting is wrong. Then verse 24 of that chapter goes on to say, "Leave your gift before the altar, go your way, first be reconciled to your brother," or it might in this case be your son or your daughter, "and then come offer your gift." We're to get relationships right with horizontally with our family before we ever come to worship God. Before we can continue in our daily walk, we have to confess to those who have been affected by it. Yes, parents should be humble enough to confess any failure as parents to their children. Perhaps a previous generation would have never done that. I hope the Christians in those generations would have done it, but it was like, "I'm right, you're wrong," as parents. It was much like that. Perhaps it's gone the other way today, where parents are often feeling guilty that they haven't done enough or haven't been enough. I think there's a happy medium there to confess our sins, to be cleansed, and then to walk in confidence, free of any guilt. Anyway, when we confess our sins to our children, it has many benefits. Number one, it models proper Christian response to sin. We want to show our children what is the right way to do it. Number two, it clears the air so you can begin to make changes. You say, "Well, I was wrong in that and I confess that to you." And number three, it brings children on side to work with you. It's hard to relate to a parent who is always right, right? One builder with four boys, her teaching about Christian parenting in a seminar for the first time, he decided to do a product recall. Now, I think I understand what he means by a product recall. You see, our Prius, when we bought it, needed another key. So we went to the Toyota dealer to buy a second key. And when we got there, they said, "There is a recall on your Prius." Now, a recall may be a little inconvenient for us, but think of the advantages. Number one, Toyota discovered the problem. Number two, Toyota admitted the problem, and I'm not doing an advertisement for Toyota. And number three, they decided to fix the problem free of charge. So if that dad meant by recalling his kids that he wanted to admit his failure as a parent and then seek to put everything right, I like the idea of a product recall. I think the point is, as soon as we realize that our parenting is inadequate, we some way have to admit it, confess it, confess it to God, confess it to our children, and make changes. We say, "Well, what changes?" The second biblical tip on playing catch up is explain biblical parenting. Explain biblical parenting. If your children are really young when you first hear teaching on Christian parenting, you won't need to do this product recall. But if they are older, you will have to explain to them biblical parenting. And of course, if they're older, they're going to be old enough for them to be able to understand what you mean. So you sit them down and you say, "I haven't been the kind of parent to you that I should be. I was wrong in this particular situation. I was wrong in that particular instance, and I want your forgiveness. Now, things are going to be different around here. I'm going to seek, with God's help, to be exactly the kind of parent that God wants me to be. So I want to explain to you some things from the Bible that I've been learning about parenting. I want you kids to be working with us as we seek to make changes." So then you would explain to your children a couple of biblical principles that are important to us as parents, and you're explaining it to them. First of all, Kids, the first thing I want you to understand is the circle of blessing. Now, we've been over this before, but you might not have all been here. The circle of blessing. So we'd read to our children Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 1 to 3, which says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." You'd say to your kids, you might want to do this in family devotions, you might want to do it over a week, but basically you would be saying to your kids, we want you, God wants you to obey us. And God says he will bless you if you do obey us. Let's read verse 3 again. "That it may be well with you," circle well, "and you may live long on the earth." Well-being and long life are promised to those who obey their parents. So you explain to the kids, we want things to go well for you. If you disobey mum and dad, you're going to move outside this circle of blessing. You're going to be in danger at that point. And so we don't want that for your lives. It will only go well for you when you obey mum and dad. The second principle that you'd want to be teaching them is, I want you to understand about your own heart. Kids, I want you to understand about your own heart. And you'd read to them, perhaps you want to explain heart to them. The heart is the inner part of man. It's the thoughts, it's the will, it's the conscience, it involves the emotions. That's all involved in the heart of man. And then you'd read to your children Proverbs 4 and verse 23. "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. You see, whatever we do and whatever we say comes from our hearts, right? And it comes from inside, and it shows to the world what we really are. Jesus also taught the same thing in Luke 6 and verse 45. "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks." So you say, kids, whatever your heart is full of, that's going to spill out. And we'll know what, mum and I will know what's in your heart by what is spilling out, what we're seeing in your life. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the life is lived. We do want good behavior from you. But most of all, to get that good behavior, we want you to have a good heart. We want to be working with your heart, a heart that is tender to the things of God. But you know, kids, none of us have a good heart by ourselves. Every one of us needs to have the Lord Jesus. And you can explain the gospel to your children. We need to have a good heart. And the only way is to have a good heart is through the Lord Jesus. Now, it's worth the effort because Ben, at 13 years old, wrote, "When my parents explained to me the Bible reason," so we give them the foundations for our parenting. When my parents explained to me the Bible reason, it helped me to realize that what I am doing can affect other people and myself, and it helped me to make wise choices. Many parents had given an arm and a leg to have a 13-year-old child write such a thing. I want to make wise choices, and knowing the Bible helps me to do that. Dear parents, you can catch up. God will be your help. We honestly, the best we can, confess our sins, admit our failures, explain what we're going to do from now on. And we read the Bible. We bring the Bible to our children and explain with pictures. Perhaps we could draw a stick figure and put a circle around it and say, put at the top, obedience. This is the circle of blessing. But when you disobey, you move into an area of danger, like the diagram in your bulletins. We could draw that for our children. We don't have to be an artist to do that, and explain how they can remain in the circle of blessing. Or we might want to draw a heart. Anyone can draw a heart, right? It goes like that. Okay, and we can draw an arrow spilling out of it. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's in us spills out. And we might want to show them that they need to have a good heart for good things to spill out. They need the Lord Jesus. The third biblical tip in playing catch up is communicate a passion for God. Communicate a passion for God. And I got to say, this is absolutely crucial. A passion for God begins with brokenness. Psalm 34 has some encouraging verses. It says, "The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." David Droz did a lovely message on the blessings of brokenness a few Sunday nights back. If you haven't heard that, download it, listen to it. It'll be a blessing to your heart. But verse 18 here says, "The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit." The person being spoken of here hasn't just said, "Oh yeah, I've done wrong." They are broken. They are crushed. There's nothing left. If you have realized your failure as a parent, those words describe you: broken, crushed, nothing left. You're in a good place. That's a good place to be, because now God can work through you. You're dependent on God now in that broken place, and He can be using you as a channel to your children. The Lord will be near you, and the Lord can begin to deliver your family situation. The brokenness here is a deep work of God. It's no flippant, "Oh yeah, I got some things wrong as a parent." This parent is crushed and empty, and God can begin to work. So a passion for God begins with a broken spirit, and it continues with a spiritual view of life. This is seeing God in everything, being aware of God in everything. This we could call living in the fourth dimension. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16 says, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day." Amen. We're growing in the Lord Jesus. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment," it mightn't feel light right now, but in terms of eternity it is. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more and exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." This is living life in the fourth dimension. Now we're in a hall here, and it has a length, and it has a breadth, and it has a height. It has three dimensions. That fourth dimension is the invisible dimension, is the dimension that involves the spiritual. There is a God there. There is an unseen world that is very much part of reality. And for the person that is passionate for the Lord Jesus Christ, it's the unseen world that is the priority. It is the most important thing in their lives. It is prominent. In fact, it is more real than what is seen, because these things that we see are temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. All of life is to be lived seeing God's control, seeing God's hand, understanding God is working. He's working in the small things and He's working in the big things. God sees me. God knows me. God is working. We see the spiritual consciousness. We have a spiritual consciousness. We have a God consciousness as we move through life, as verse 18 says. "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So we need that brokenness. We need to see God working in all the things of life. And third, a passion for God will be seen in a life of praise. A life of praise. God is the focus of life. And God is loved. And God is worshipped. And this is where we come to Psalm 145. You have your Bibles open there. This is the kind of spirit, this is the kind of passionate heart that we need to have as Christians. And we're going to read those verses again. Psalm 145, a praise of David. May it be our praise this morning. "I will extol you, O God, my King, and I'll bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I'll praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another. Do you hear the instruction there? Parents are to praise God to their children. We're to be passionate about our Christian lives to our children. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts and will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. And verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and save them. Do you hear the passion in those verses? And can we have this kind of passion? Can we have this love and devotion and longing in our lives? The passionate parent is going to love talking about God to their family, not just doing a family devotion, but talking as they rise up, as they sit down, as they walk in the way, as they drive anywhere in the car. They'll be constantly telling their family about this opportunity to witness and that opportunity to witness and how they met this Christian and what a joy it was to have fellowship with them and how they were having some difficulties at work, but they brought those needs to God, and God worked in that tough situation. Their conversation will be filled with the things of God. Amen? If you're passionate for God, you're going to be talking about God. Parents, you cannot teach a love for God beyond where you are yourselves. You cannot teach a love for God beyond where you are yourselves. The tragic alternative of failing to communicate a passion for God is explained by Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him. They had no passion for him. They did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. How tragic. If we will not make God the passion of our lives, our hearts are idol factories. Did you know that? There's always something that we've got to be passionate about. And if we will not be passionate for God, we will make something else our passion. And that thing will become an idol in place of God. That's what verse 25 says, who exchanged the truth of God. They exchanged the worship and passion of God for something else, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. God had this word for Israel in regard to idols. Our hearts are idol factories, and we can manufacture idols. God said about Israel's idols, and he says to us about our idols in Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 6. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, repent, turn away from your idols, and turn your faces away from your abominations. For anyone of the house of Israel, of the strangers who dwell in Israel, who separates himself from me, and sets up idols in his heart. You see, if we set up an idol in our heart, we separate ourselves from God. Do we really want to do that? Do we want something else to be our passion other than God? Anyway, the verse says here, for anyone of the house of Israel or the strangers who dwell in Israel, who separates himself from me and sets up idols in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble unto iniquity, I will set my face against that man. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. It's a warning, a brother and sister. It's a strong warning not to have a passion for anything other than the Lord. He is to be our passion. We should be constantly setting before our children the beauties and the blessings of our God, that they can see the Christian life is the greatest life of all to live. Be passionate about him. Byron Sparks was one special bloke. He had a rare skin disease called epidermolysis bullosa. It's a condition where blisters just occur on the skin spontaneously. And the doctors told Stephen and Lillian Sparks that their little baby wouldn't see out 24 hours. Well, when he was 21, Byron noted, the doctor said I wouldn't even live one day. Well, it's been a really long day. Byron bounced through life. When he was 2 years old, he lost the skin entirely off one arm. It had to be bandaged, had to be treated. But he hopped on a little red car and went through the corridors of the hospital singing, God is so good. God, someone help me, I can't see. But he's saying, God is so good to me. He loved to sing praises to Jesus. Each day for an hour, they had to break those blisters across his body. They had to wrap him, put ointments on and put, it was very painful, had to wrap him in bandages. But he would sing with his mum during this time. Cancer was found on his hand and it required amputation at the elbow. And Byron said to his grandmother, don't cry for me. I still have a lot more to do for the Lord. He kept teaching Sunday school. He kept leading in worship. He kept singing in the choir. Today, he's singing with the angels. Cancer ravaged his body and the Lord took him home. When Byron's time on earth was drawing to a close, he spoke gently to one of his sisters. He said, Janelle, I'm so scared that you might not get to heaven. Make the right choices, won't you? What's truly special about Byron is that he knew the elements of a well-lived life. Passion for God. Telling others about God. Bringing praise to God in the circumstances of life. Quick to praise God day after day. With his broken body, he offered to God a beautiful sacrifice of praise. He never forgot the fact that God's love endures forever. He saw the eternal. He saw through not just these three dimensions that we see with these eyes. He saw the eternal. Dear parents, you can never teach a passion for God beyond what you yourself have. Now think, close your eyes for a second. Dream. What do you want your teenagers to be like? Don't you want them to be spirit-filled Christians? Then we have to be spirit-filled Christians. That means a family devotion is a given. Not only will you be doing a devotion, you'll be communicating your devotion to God. We've got to communicate this passion to God. The fourth biblical tip on playing catch-up is enforce discipline. Enforce discipline. So you've sat down with your children. You've confessed your failure as a parent. You've said to them, now, kids, things are going to be different around here. You've taught them some of the biblical principles. You say to them, we want you to have a heart for God. We want you to be in that circle of blessing. But if you will not honor and obey us, there is going to be consequences. Explain, because we want our children to have a heart for God, we cannot overlook our disobedience. The guiding principle here is Proverbs 13 and verse 24. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Now, in application of this verse, just think as we've gone through the toddler years, we've gone through the childhood years, and when we were talking about the toddler years, we said that the primary task of the toddler years is for the child to learn that they're a child under authority. We said the task of the childhood years was to grow, to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, being a person under authority continues the rest of our life. Becoming like the Lord Jesus continues the rest of our life. And in the teen years, the teen should be increasingly serving the Lord. Probably they're already serving in the home already, but now they should be moving beyond that and starting to serve others out and beyond the home. So then, as we think about what happens in each age group, the rod particularly applies to the toddler preschool years. But if we're playing catch-up, you know, the rod is not going to be absent from the childhood years. It particularly applies to the toddler years. But it's not going to be absent from the childhood years. And if we're playing catch-up, we're still teaching that child that they're a person under authority. And so it's going to be needed much more in the childhood years than for the child who learnt that they were a person under authority in the toddler years. Now, if you need more on the rod, please download our four messages on the rod last year. Please download those and listen to those. The fifth and final biblical tip for playing catch up is maintain hope. Obviously, if we're playing catch up, we've been doing things wrong, now we've got to get things right, there's going to be some challenges here. So we've got to maintain hope. We've got to have our trust in God. If your child is still in the home, it's not too late to catch up. And later this year, I'm going to be doing a series on how to even reach the child that has left home, bringing the prodigal back. But it's going to be a process. It's not going to happen overnight. Your child will not change overnight, but with God's grace, your child can change. And we need to rest our hope in the God of all grace, the God of all hope. Romans 15 and verse 13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." I want you parents to have hope for your children. Our focus should be on God as parents. Our passion is for God as parents. Our hope as parents is going to flow from Him. His character is such that He is the God of hope. We need to be in His Word. We need to know God very well, and so we're going to need to know the Word of God very well to trust Him in the challenges of daily family life. I'm going to read a prayer, and as I read this prayer, I'm going to be praying that in my heart for all the parents of children and teens that are here today. The prayer was written by Paul in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. He said, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you," you here at Central Mountains Baptist Church, "that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Yes, brother and sister, may you know in experience that love of God. May you be strengthened with might in the inner man. And may you thereby be that channel of God's love to your children. May you have that godliness, that desire for God, that passion for God that will influence them. And may you have, as you seek to correct things, a gentle spirit, not a harsh spirit. Jesus was very firm at times, but He was never harsh. Proverbs 25 and verse 15 says, "A gentle tongue breaks the bone." Yes, we may no need to spank a child, but a gentle tongue breaks the bone. Love that keeps praying and keeps teaching with all patience until Christ be formed in that child. Don't lose hope and don't give up with your children. Whilst a God of grace reigns, there's always hope in Him. Kelly 13 writes, "When I was younger, 90% of the time I obeyed because I was afraid of getting into trouble. Now I obey because I want to help, because I say, 'Yes, Mum, yes, Dad,' and I do what is requested of me." Please, parents, there is hope those parents saw their daughter turned around. Okay, some final pointers as we close this morning. Be passionate. Knowing God and making Him known is the greatest privilege of life. He is altogether glorious. Be persuasive. You are trying to win your children to the Lord like you would win a neighbor to the Lord or a workmate to the Lord. You're trying to win them to Christ and then to disciple them. Show them humility. Show them the beauties of Christ. Show them broken confession. Show them that the Christian life is the best life possible. Anything else is going to be a step down. Be gentle. Jesus Christ was gentle. We read in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden light." Be understanding. If you're playing catch up, there's some things that you've done wrong. There's things wrong in the children's lives. It's going to be hard to get them right. It's hard for us to get things right. We need to be patient with them too. How hard it is to make those changes. But please, don't give up hope. Be full of hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Dear friends, in sowing spiritually into your children's lives, may you reap everlasting life. And may the new models, now we can't teach passion beyond where we are, but let's pray that God would give grace to take our children beyond where we are. May God give grace that the new models are even more passionate than the old models. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Father, there's probably nothing more challenging in the world than to be a parent. And I pray for the parents that still have children at home today. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would help them to be everything they can be in Christ, that they may help their children to know what joy it is to live the Christian life. We pray for our children, Lord. We pray for the children of this church, oh, that they might know the Savior, or they might grow in Him, that they might have mums and dads that are Spirit-filled, Word-filled Christians, passionate for you, humble and gentle, confessing their sins. And Lord, may the parents teach their children the way of all righteousness. Bless the families. Bless this church. Help us to be better than what we are each day, growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in His name. Amen.